fornicator. In the scriptures, against whom is this charge laid? What makes someone a fornicator? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. For those of you who are following in your own sword, you fill my heart with joy. The preparation that you will get from doing that cannot be calculated in earthly terms. Of what is a fornicator guilty of committing? Brother Harrison says, race mixing. Most of us here could say a fornicator is guilty of committing fornication. Is that dodging the question? Is that a humorous way of confessing our ignorance? Is that the same thing as saying a Jew is a non-Gentile and a Gentile is a non-Jew? If we are expecting God does better than that, this lesson might well bear fruit. Seriously, would God fail to define his terms? Does 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 anticipate we know who is committing fornication? Let us read together out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in unison, verse number 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Is federal bureaucracy nothing but levels of extortion against the people of this country? Want to eat with somebody like that? Quote, with such an one, no, not to eat. If we avoid eating with a fornicator, are we enforcing God's law? Hello? If we are enforcing God's law in our household, would we be consistent, insistent, and persistent to enforce God's law in our local church body? And if we are enforcing God's law in our local church body, would we be consistent, insistent, and persistent enforcing God's law in our immediate neighborhood? And where else can it go from there? Hello. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. This is the signature scriptural address for this lesson. What does commit fornication mean? Can we understand from God's word who is a fornicator? We're in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 16. May we recite together in unison out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Does the God of our fathers reveal himself in his word? Does Hebrews 12:16 directly instruct us, quote, any fornicator as Esau, unquote? Where do we look in the scriptures for the record of Esau committing fornication? Look at verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 12. Does this very next verse, verse 17, give us a clue where we might look? Let's read this together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 17. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So where do we look? For what do we look? Am I getting bug-eyed silence? Where in the scripture record do we find Esau shedding tears? Hello? Over what did Esau get so upset he cried tears? I heard somebody say Genesis. Turn to the book of Genesis. Did Esau weep over being rejected? Where do we find this? Let's go to Genesis chapter 27. Let's look at verses 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, and 38. May we stand for the reading of these scriptures responsively. Classmates, would you take the even-numbered scriptures and would you let me respond with the odd-numbered scriptures, verses? We're in Genesis chapter 27. You read first, classmates, verse number 32. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Thank you. Please be seated. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Does this remind us of what we read in Hebrews 12:17? Quote, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. And, quote unquote, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. How'd that happen? Look back to verse 35 in our responsive reading. Verse 35. Isaac says, quote, thy brother hath taken away thy blessing. In verse 36, Esau accuses his brother Jacob, whose name means supplanter, of supplanting him twice. The first time was the birthright, for Esau was firstborn. The second time was the blessing that goes to the firstborn. Did we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, that God tells the story differently from Esau? Did we read in verse 16 that God calls Esau, quote, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright, unquote, to Jacob, a quote unquote profane person? Did we read in verse 17 that Esau found, quote unquote, no place of repentance? What does that tell us? Does it tell us, is it possible for sinners to repent of fornication? Does this mean fornication is not the unforgivable sin? In Hebrews 12:16, does God name Esau a fornicator? Sister Sarah spotted that straight up. Now, here might be the most difficult part of our lesson. Here is a good place to repeat a question we asked at the very beginning. Would God fail to define his terms? A question whose answer is patently obvious is known as a rhetorical question. By faith, we understand that God would be sure to define his terms. As so often happens, God's definition is not man's definition. In churchianity, fornication is most often defined as cleaving outside the covenant of marriage. In our gutter vernacular and alley slang of today, that is expressed as sexual relations outside marriage. Let's go to the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter number 22. We'll be looking at two verses, 28 and 29. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Cleaving outside the covenant of marriage is an unlawful act precisely because it may impact upon the doctrine of one flesh. The doctrine of one flesh is one of the least understood doctrines of the Bible and requires a separate lesson on its own. Deuteronomy chapter 22 has two verses that address this situation. Classmates, would you let me read verse 28 and would you please respond with verse number 29? We are in Deuteronomy chapter 22. I read first verse 28. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife. Because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. Quote, because he hath humbled her, unquote. Do we call this circumstance shotgun wedding in our day? So what started out as unlawful has become lawful marriage because of God's provisions in his law. We just read it, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 28 and 29. Since God ordained marriage, is God himself the expert and arbiter of what constitutes lawful marriages? Hello? Does this create a strong implication that no one should enter into an unlawful marriage? An important part of any Bible study is this key question. Is this a doctrine of God or a doctrine of man? We have a key advantage here. God has named Esau a fornicator. Found no place of repentance with tears. God, how final does that sound? What happens? You know, he's made the same lump of clay. Yeah, he was made a vessel to dishonor, but he still chose. He made choices, Romans chapter 9. When he comes up in the resurrection, what's he facing? Will he be clothed with the garments of salvation or naked? Will he tremble before the great white throne? Will he find his name is blotted out from the Lamb's book of life? Will he be cast naked into the lake of fire, which is defined in Revelation as the second death? Can we find a record in the scriptures where Esau committed fornication? This is a large question. Let's go to Genesis chapter 28, verses 6 through 9. We're back in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book of the cast of characters. They call Genesis chapter 10 the table of nations. And every single one of them is still with us. Genesis chapter 28. Classmates, would you let me read the even-numbered verses, and would you respond with the odd-numbered verses? Question, was Isaac, Esau's father, displeased with his eldest son? Over what was Isaac displeased with Esau? We're in Genesis chapter 28. I read first verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Quote unquote, the sister of Nebajoth. Who on God's green earth is Nebajoth? What's he have to do with all this? Why does the great I Am God of Moses mention Nebajoth here in the first book of Moses called Genesis? Who can tell me what the mention of Mahalath's brother, Nebajoth, should mean to us? Any takers? Who would like to explain that? Can we explain it? Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. We were in Genesis 27. We're going back a couple chapters to Genesis 25. We're looking at verse 17. Let us read together in unison out of Genesis chapter number 25. Let's see, how many chapters back was that? We were in 27. That's a couple chapters. Earlier in Genesis 25, let's read what it says in verse number 17. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. Why then would God say through Moses in Genesis 28:9, quote, then when Esau unto Ishmael? What? Ishmael is dead. He is gathered unto his ancestors. What's going on here? We're still in Genesis chapter number 25. Let's look back to verse number 13. We just finished reading verse 17. Shall we look back to Genesis 25:13? What do we learn about Nebajoth? Please let me read this one for you. Verse 13. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, all together now, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam. What is the birthright of the firstborn? Does he, the firstborn, become family patriarch at the death of his father? Since Ishmael is gathered unto his fathers, Esau would necessarily have to petition Ishmael's firstborn, Nebajoth? Hello? Now the big question. Why was Esau's petition to Nebajoth the same as coming unto Ishmael? What is that supposed to mean to us? Could it be that at this time in history, and who has better history than God, right? Ishmael's descendants had no adulteries at the breast. Hello? Well, what does that mean? adulteries between the breasts. Let's go to the end time prophet, Hosea. This reminds me of a wonderful story I've heard between the two churches, Fellowship of God's Covenant People and Christian Reformed Fellowship. Pastor Jerry and Margaret have a similar story to Pastor Don and Randa's story. The history of the marriages in our churches is so instructive. And the strong marriages are what gives the church its strong pillars. So this is not an unimportant lesson. I'm sorry I had to bore you with the genealogies. I saw one or two yawns. Okay, we're in Hosea chapter 2, verse number 2. Would God ever call some nursing infants adulteries? What? Let us read together in unison out of Hosea chapter 2, verse number 2. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. The word whoredoms is translated from Hebrew word number 2183, zanun, meaning fornications resulting in adulteries. Hello? Do verses 4 and 5 explain that well. Classmates, would you take verse 4 and let me respond with verse number 5? We're still in Hosea chapter 2. You read verse 4. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. You know, one of the toughest things to encounter in the scriptures is the fact that God kills children, slaughters them. He's the original and the most terrifying terrorist. He commanded the Israelites to wipe out every man, woman, child, and baby in Canaan amongst the Canaanites. How about that? That's a tough lesson. No wonder so many people get the impression in churchianity that God's a terrible God of the Old Testament. And thank God Jesus came with a kinder program. Yeah, right. But this is where American Israel is at. This is who, as a people, countrywide, this is who we are. When's the last time we marveled? Why me, Lord? You've touched me with the truth of your word. Of course, the humorous answer to that question is God's baritone voice. Why not? So if he's giving us that revelation, he's given us more responsibility than he's given to others. Verse 5. Let me read that. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them, conceived what? The adulteries between her breasts, hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. How many of our people cave to the multi-level levels of extortion that come out of federal bureaucracy against our people? And for the sake of making a living, do what? Is that the same thing as taking a bribe, a gift? Who are we? Is America become an anvil? And the servants of our God, who have no idea they're serving him except for the senior serpents and the senior wolves, They have the common sense not to kill a host. The junior wolves and the junior serpents, they don't have that. And the feeding has never been so frenzied. Yeah, Trump's president, but it's going on in different forms right now. They're still here. God, a righteous father, would a righteous father fail to chastise his children? What do mothers and fathers do when they catch their children lying to them? It's almost a panic. They sense immediately where that goes. When's the last time we heard that old Anglo-Saxon proverb, if a man will lie to you, he'll steal from you. If he'll steal from you, he will kill you. When our small children learn to lie to us, fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, great-grandfathers, great-grandmothers, if we live so long, at that moment, our children are learning to become murderers. How irate is the God of our fathers at the sin of Israel? Fornication. Let's go to Hosea chapter 3. And we'll take a look at verses 4 and 5 in Hosea chapter 3. How long will God's anger last against the house of Israel? Did the house of Israel go into the Assyrian captivity near 721 B.C.? Classmates, would you take the even-numbered verse, verse 4? Would you let me respond with verse 5? We're in Hosea chapter 3. You read first, verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Does that remind you of Ephesians chapter 2? About the far off, the scattered lost sheep, no longer under covenant, divorced, without God and without hope in this world. Afterward, verse 5, shall the children of Israel return and seek the great I Am, their God, and David, their king, and shall fear the great I Am and his goodness in the latter days. When are the latter days? This is prophetic. And it comes with a specified time period. That's one of the marks of a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled. The latter days. Are the latter days the time period between what? The first and second comings of our Lord Jesus Christ? Did the house of Israel's husband die on that hill called Calvary and Golgotha? Was the house of Israel widowed and freed from the law of her husband? Hello. Could she be espoused now to the firstborn son of the resurrection? Could she be restored to her former status as sister to the house of Judah? Are the two houses reunited as the commonwealth of Israel on earth? What a story. Did that old serpent, the devil and Satan, that dragon who recruited a third of the highest ranking angels, almost all the ruling or archangels as his unholy horde, become the instrument of his own doom at Calvary? Has he flown into a rage and pursues the woman who gave birth to the Son of Man relentlessly? But since the commonwealth of Israel is scattered into every nation on earth, one grenade cannot get them all. What's Satan's answer to that? When Satan engineers World War III, if one country in the Isles refuses to be party to that war, will the devil, when he obtains with his working, quote, working, all power signs and lying wonders, unquote, will he fail to harness one geographical spot on earth? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Who will bring the present? Isaiah chapter 18, verse 7. Have I just given you some interesting homework? Let's go to Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Did the prophet Hosea prophesy the day of the commonwealth of Israel scattered into all the nations? In Hosea chapter 1, Hosea is an end-time prophet. They all are end-time prophets, especially Obadiah, one of the shortest. Boy, that's one of the endiest ends. Esau's gone. Whoa. We're in Hosea chapter 1. Let us read together in unison verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. What a total, outright rescue. Sonship. We even get back sonship which we lost in the garden. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, do we get fulfillment of prophecy? We'll be looking in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, verses 9 and 10. Does the prophet Peter confirm the fulfillment of Hosea's prophecy? I heard from dear sister Randa that when she was concerned about Pastor Don getting into some strange stuff out of the Bible, that this fulfilled prophecy is the one that confirmed what Pastor Don was reading and believing for her. What a story. Classmates, would you let me read verse 9? And would you please respond with verse number 10? 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading verse 9 first. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him that hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What a story! Can we see that the judgment fallen upon the house of Israel for her whoredoms or fornications lasted over 7 centuries? Do the judgments of our God always fit the crime? Do the consequences always fit the choices? Are the judgments of our God always administered in mercies and loving kindnesses? Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 37, 38, and 39. Christianity believes that the God of the Old Testament was a horrific, terrorizing, awful God. And now we have Jesus. That needs to be addressed, doesn't it? Well, we're here in Matthew chapter 24. What was the sin of the world of Noah? Why, of all the descendants of Adam through Methuselah, all the descendants of Adam through Methuselah, did our God save but 8 souls? Where'd they all go? Let us read together in unison out of Matthew chapter 24, verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Are we seeing the world of Noah before the flood coming back appearing before our very eyes and making a big din in our listening ears? Are these the words of the greatest prophet in the Bible? Does Jesus say that the days of his second coming will be like unto the days of Noah before the flood? Put a mark in Matthew chapter 24. We're coming right back to it. We need to go to Luke, the third gospel, chapter 18, verse number 8. We've got our mark in Matthew 24 to come back. And we're going to take a quick look at Luke 18, verse number 8. This is Jesus speaking. We're only going to pay, in this lesson, strict attention to the latter half, the second phrase of this verse. The first phrase is an interesting Bible study in itself. But we got to stay on topic. I'm running out of time. Let us read together out of Luke chapter 18, verse number 8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he? Quote, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Does the Holy Spirit desire that we understand the sin of, quote unquote, the days of Noah? Let's go to verses 38 and 39 back at Matthew chapter 24. Hopefully you put your mark in Matthew 24 and we're there together. Classmates, I want you to read verse 38. Please let me respond with verse number 39. We're in Matthew 24, you read first, verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Quote, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, unquote. This phrase is repeated from verse 37. Matthew 24, 37. This exact phrase is repeated twice. Once in 37, again in verse 39. Look back to verse 38. Quote, marrying and giving in marriage. What was wrong with the marriages of the days of Noah? Will the marriages in the days of the coming of the Son of Man be wrong like in the days of Noah? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6 and look at verses 9 and 10. Do we have the revelation in the words of God in these verses? Have we been anointed by the Holy Spirit to spiritually discern the revelation of God, of Himself, in His Word? Classmates, would you read verse 9 and let me take verse 10? We're in Genesis chapter 6. You're reading first verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Is the God of the Bible, the God who authored these words, a God of context? Look at verse 9. What does the first phrase of verse 9 say? Quote, these are the generations of Noah. Is this phrase intended to introduce Noah's generations? Is this about Noah's progeny? Is this about Noah's genealogy? What does perfect in his generations mean? Perfect translates Hebrew word 8549, tamim, entire, literally, figuratively, or morally, also as a noun, integrity, truth. Does my genealogy still have integrity? Is the truth in my DNA? Colon, hyphen. This is a partial list of the various ways in which Tamim is translated from the Hebrew. Without blemish. Complete. Full. Perfect. Sound, as opposed to unsound. Without spot, as opposed to spotted. Undefiled, as opposed to defiled. Whole. W-H-O-L-E. What's a common King James English word related to W-H-O-L-E, whole? But I'm thinking of one that begins with H. Four letters. Holy. Whole. Holy are related words. Hale, hearty, healthy. All those all go together. English is one of the most synonymous languages on the surface of this globe. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. Which of Noah's sons constitutes adulteries between or at the breasts? Classmates, would you read first verse 18? Would you let me respond with verse 19? We're in Genesis chapter 9. You read first verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. What? These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Let's go to verse 22. Who can tell me if there are any fathers other than Shem and Ham and Japheth, of whom the whole earth was overspread? Who can name me one other patriarch? Let us read together in unison, verse number 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Let's go to verses 24 and 25. What did Noah have to say about all this? Classmates, let me read verse 24. Would you please respond with verse number 25? We're still in Genesis chapter 9. I read first verse 24. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew, what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Hebrew word 853, is in verses 22 and 24 an untranslated Hebrew diphthong of the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet of 22 consonants. Aleph, Thaw. Now, how do we know what the Hebrew alphabet is? How do we know that Aleph is the first consonant in the Hebrew alphabet and Thav is the last consonant in the Hebrew alphabet? When's the last time you read Psalms, the 119th? It's an acrostic featuring Aleph for a series of verses, Beth, Gimel, all the way to Thav. That's how we know what the Hebrew alphabet is. Alphabet comes from the Greek, alpha, beta. Has God ever left himself without witness? Hello. It is the Hebrew counterpart of Alpha Omega. Hebrew word 853, Aleph Thav, appears in Genesis 1:1, untranslated, and is translated in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, as the preposition from. Cursed is the translation of Hebrews 7:79, arar, execrate, bitterly curse. Was Canaan cursed from birth? Did all the tribes of Canaan come from the curse with which God cursed the serpent? Did Esau intermarry with the daughters of Canaan, the daughters of Heth? Which tribe did Heth father? Hittites is correct. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 26. Verses 34 and 35. When Esau intermarried with the daughters of Canaan, the daughters of Heth, and took unto him Hittite wives, how did that impact Isaac and Rebekah? Classmates, let me take verse 34. Would you please respond with verse number 35? We're in Genesis chapter number 26. I read first verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Aith, Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Many of us have similar stories in our families. It's all out war. Genesis chapter 27, verse number 46. You'll find it's the last verse of Genesis chapter number 27. What would cause Rebekah to say she cared no more for life if Jacob took a wife of the tribes of Canaan? Let us read together out of Genesis chapter 27 in unison, verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? What good shall my life do me? Let's march on. I'm running out of time here to Genesis 34. Genesis chapter 34. When Dinah, sister to the 12 sons of Israel, went out to see the daughters of the land, Shechem, son of Hamor, ravished her. He, Shechem, asked his father Hamor to get Dinah for his wife from the Hebrews. Israel's sons spoke deceitfully to them, saying giving their sister to an uncircumcised man would be a reproach to them. In Genesis chapter 34, we'll be looking at verse 23. In persuading the men of the city to be circumcised, as the Hebrews were, Hamor and Shechem closed the deal with this thought. Let us read together out of Genesis 34 in unison, verse 23. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. Do the Canaanites genetically swallow us out of existence when we intermarry with them? Do the Canaanites say, we shall be theirs? Is that why God bans Israelites from making marriages with them? Deuteronomy 7 and etc. Were Esau's marriages to the daughters of Heth unlawful? Is Esau a fornicator? Is there any shred of evidence that Esau had relations outside marriage? In Genesis chapter 28, was Esau concerned with appearances? Is there any record Esau put away the unlawful wives? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 18. Do we see what is at stake here? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let us read together in unison. Verse number 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Is this a matter of eternal importance? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 is our last scripture for this lesson. If the law of seed in itself and the law of kind after kind apply only to plants and animals, and if Adam is the father of all the races, here in this area we've heard only one race. Why then do fornication and adultery appear at the top of the lists of the sins of the flesh? Fellow Hebrews, we end where we began this lesson in the book of Hebrews. May we stand. In Hebrews chapter 13, let us recite together verse number 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Thank you.